help
us,
me,
Jesus.
And try to be a blessing to you. And I just pray that the Lord will come by and bless His people and edify the saints of God this morning. We'll leave here in better shape than what we came.
Right.
Amen.
God. I'd like to thank the Lord for His wonderful presence. I appreciate the privilege to come back again. The Lord has been so good to me since I saw you last. He's still faithful. And I don't know what God has done for you, but He's done some wonderful things for me. I've been fighting a battle with my health, just like maybe y'all have some around here that's been fighting a battle with their health. And there's been some times where I didn't know what God was doing. But I tell you what, I'm getting the victory. You know what? The Lord is able to do anything that we trust Him to do. I don't know what God is doing. I was talking to my husband about this on the way over here. I've been having terrible blood pressures. Terrible. Y'all know. I mean, some of y'all do at my church. And then some fairly good and some bad ones. And I didn't know what was going on. I said, God, I don't care. I'll just die. It don't matter to me. I'm ready to go. I mean, I told the Lord that. I said, I'll just die. If you want me to die, I'll die. I tell you what, when you get it in your heart so good that you don't matter which way it goes, you got it. If you got to go back and you got to clean out your wardrobe, or you got to get rid of some of those shoes, or you got to get rid of something that's a little bit doubtful. You know, one time God got to talking to me and I got to talking to Him. I said, God, is there anything that you want me to do? He said, yes, there is. He told me a few things He wanted me to do. I tell you, when you get serious with God, He'll tell you. Holiness, people, He'll clean out your wardrobe. I'm going all over the country and I'm looking around at holiness people and I'm saying, what is wrong with y'all? The Lord did a whole lot for me when He saved me. When He sanctified me, He did a whole lot more. When He filled me with the Holy Ghost, He did a whole lot more. And when he kept on working, He started cleaning out my wardrobe. Oh yeah, I had dresses. I was raised in a preacher's house. I wore dresses. But don't you know you can wear the wrong kind of dress? It can be so tight. It can be so short. It can be so loose. It can be so low. Oh, I tell you, God is good. I told myself, I hope we never stop being a holiness people. That's where the Lord is. He's up there in the mountain with Moses in the Holy of Holies. Glory. Well, I didn't finish my testimony yesterday evening. I took my blood pressure because I've been doing it all the time. I've been doing it because I don't have the money to go to the doctor all the time, so I take it myself. Well, I tell you what, it was like 112 over 70 something. I thought, man, what in the world is going on? Took it again last night, it's same sister. Took it again this morning, it was 112 over 75. I said, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Whatever you're doing, I thank you for it. I tell you what, God is so good. When I went to the doctor, my blood pressure was 184 over 110. Woo! I tell you what God can do. He can do anything. I don't know what God is doing. I told my husband, I said, I don't know if He healed me or not. I never felt nothing. But I sure am going to thank the Lord. I'm going to thank Him for every little thing that He does. Every time He comes by and blesses my soul. Woo! Glory! Every little blessing I get, Brother Joy, every time He touches me, I'm going to thank Him for that touch. That's just a touch. I must have got a touch yesterday somewhere along the journey. The Lord come along and touch me. Woo! Do you know that Jesus is real? He's real. I've been telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to be just like Molly Pitcher. Y'all know who Molly Pitcher was? I think she was a water carrier, right? Somebody knows history. Wasn't she a water carrier? Didn't she carry pitchers of water? Okay, I want to be the one that carries a pitcher of water. Pours it on somebody. I'm not a preacher, but I've got the Holy Ghost. Woo, woo, woo. He's real. He's him, meditating on him, praising him, giving him the praise and the honor. Woo! I got a song. I might sing it. I might not. I don't know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say holiness, people. Let's be holy. Let's be what we're supposed to be. Let's be full of the Holy Ghost. Let's be where we ought to be. Let's be listening to God. If God says clean out your wardrobe, clean it out, lady. If God says, man, clean your truck out, clean it out. If God says, kick that TV out, kick it out. I'm getting so tired of half-hearted living. Woo! Halfway, I'm not going to live for God halfway. No, I'm not a preacher. All I do is pour water on this man's hand. God gave me to him, and I'm enjoying the journey. We love it. We love it. We get up and we pray together. We talk about the Bible together. We love our children together. We walk for God together. Woo!
Glory!
Glory. Hallelujah. I did not know what would happen this morning. I did not know. This is a surprise to me, Brother Joey. Oh, this is a surprise. I tell you what, sometimes God just drops a little surprise on you. I don't know. I still don't know what God's doing. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to praise Him for the touch. Just praise Him for the touch. Glory to God. Every little touch is wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. You know what that little woman said? She said when she lost all, she lost something, a coin, right? And she said, all y'all come rejoice with me. I found my coin. Okay, I just invited you in this morning in on my joy. Woo! Glory! The joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe I won't sing. Glory to God.
Come on now, don't let him pass you by.
Woo!
How many needs a touch this morning? The Lord ain't working. We just ain't watching. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. How many loves the touch of the Lord in your soul? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, there's something wrong with the church when the devil gets bigger than Jesus. When all of our testimonies, what the devil's doing, we've lost talk. We're off track somewhere. Oh, God is good, isn't He? Won't you get Him up today? Why don't you get Him up a little higher? You don't know what He's doing. His ways are above your ways. Just praise Him for His faithfulness and His truth and His justice and His mercy. Hallelujah. Woo! All right, ask the Lord to have His way right here.
Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. He deserves our praise and our worship. In heaven they declare, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and riches and wisdom. And we want to join in and say, worthy is the Lamb of God. Appreciate Brother Randy. Appreciate the church here and all of the saints of God who come. God bless you. I'll be reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll start at verse 1. If you will, stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. 'Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we want to thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for those who've come to this meeting this morning, and we pray your blessings upon your people. We ask you, Lord, to encourage hearts and to strengthen the faith of the people of God and draw us close to you, Lord. We'll give you the praise for your help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach for a few minutes this morning on a society shaped by the gospel. And my text tells us the testimony of Paul concerning the effect of the gospel on the people of Thessalonica. Paul had visited Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, along with his companions Silas and Timothy. And after 3 weeks of preaching, Paul had to leave the city of Thessalonica because of persecution. And the saints urged him to leave because of the rage that was produced by his preaching. And so to spare Paul from harm, the new believers insisted that he flee. And so he left and went to Berea. But he left behind, in that short time, he left behind a thriving and growing group of believers in Thessalonica. And in my text, he is reminiscing about the transformation that was wrought in that city by the preaching of the gospel. And I want to show you from my text four dramatic changes that were made in that community as a result of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, these people made a change in the models of behavior. You notice in verse 5 of my text, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. So these people changed their models of behavior. Now, you know, every society has their culture shapers, people who are prominent in that society, who command the attention of the people in that society, and the lives of people in that society conform to these leaders in that culture. They adopt their behavior, they adopt their philosophy of life,
And a society imitates the people that they admire. If you look around at the models of behavior in our own society, you can see that the majority of people in our society are following models of behavior that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What kind of people do our people admire in this society? Well, they admire, you know, the entertainment personalities, the rock and roll stars, the sports idols, the movie stars, and these people who are morally bankrupt and personally racing to destruction and taking American society with them. This is the idols of our society. The models of behavior in American culture are these kinds of people. And I don't have any doubt that in Thessalonica, they had their own version of Hollywood. Now, I know they didn't have television and things of that nature, but they had their own heroes and their own models of behavior in Thessalonica. People who wielded a powerful negative influence on that society. But when they received the gospel of Jesus Christ, they changed their patterns of behavior. And they became followers of the gospel preachers and of the Lord. The pattern of behavior that was set by Paul and Silas and Timothy would become the standard of behavior for this church. I want you to understand that a defective messenger tends to produce defective converts. The Bible tells us if the blind lead the blind, then they will both fall into the ditch. Jesus told us about the Pharisees that they compassed land and sea to make one convert, and they made him twofold more a child of hell than themselves. The example set by the messenger is critical to the converts. Paul said in verse 5, he said, "You know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Converts to the faith tend to favor those who brought them the message. In 2008, there was a charismatic evangelist named Todd Bentley who held a tent revival in Lakeland, Florida. And that revival went on for over 4 months. Hundreds of thousands of people came to that tent revival. They came from overseas, came from all over this country. They came to experience the advertised miracles that were happening every night. And according to Bentley's reports, 25 people were raised from the dead. Thousands of people were healed. Some of you may know about the Christian news magazine called World Magazine. And World Magazine went and interviewed this man. And they asked for a list of the people that had been healed. Well, the campaign could only produce 13 names. And so World Magazine began to investigate these people that were supposedly healed in this campaign. Number 12 on the list was a man by the name of Christopher Fogel, who had been healed, supposedly healed of cancer. And according to the report, he was back to fishing. So World investigated and they found out that Mr. Fogel had died of cancer before the revival was over. And other claims followed this same pattern. Bentley the evangelist sported tattoos all over his arms, neck, wore gaudy finger rings on his fingers, necklaces, pierced ears, and pierced lip. And during the revival meeting, he was drinking heavily and having an affair with a woman on his staff. And the charismatic leaders across this country descended on this tent revival, laid their hands on Bentley and predicted and prophesied of great things this man was going to do for God. The revival finally closed under a cloud of Bentley's scandals. But supporters continued to defend the meeting as a work of God. And after the revival, Bentley divorced his wife, married his lover, paused his ministry for a little charismatic counseling, and then picked up this ministry and carried on with his new wife. This is the kind of man that Jesus says is a blind man leading blind people, and they're going to both fall into the ditch. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. This man is not unique in the United States of America. There are plenty of blind men leading blind people into the ditch. But the pattern set by the Apostle Paul for the Thessalonians was very different. He reminded them in chapter 2 in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." It's important to note that a holy messenger produces holy people. They change their pattern of behavior, and the holy man of God became their pattern of behavior. Secondly, they changed the kind of influence that they were wielding themselves in society. When these people received the gospel with great joy, they began to project a different kind of influence in the world. And they went from being ambassadors of hell to being ambassadors of heaven. They began to set a good example for their families, for their communities, and for their province. You notice in my text, Paul says in verse 7, "You were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we don't need to speak anything about you. Your reputation has preceded me. And everywhere I go, I run into people who have heard about the kind of life that you're now living." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, the gospel changes, and the kind of influence that we exert upon our communities and upon our families. They began to set a good example. Preachers and missionaries that were nurtured in this community of believers were carrying the gospel to people in spiritual darkness. I doubt if these people even understood the extent of their outreach. They probably did not realize that so many people knew about the kind of life they were now living. They probably did not realize that so many people understood what God had done for them. But Paul said, "I'm running into people all over the place that have heard about your faith and heard about the kind of life that you are living now." Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Paul made them aware of how far-reaching their influence had gone. And I'm telling you that you probably don't realize right here in this church how far-reaching the influence of King Mountain Free Pentecostal Church is. Oh, yeah. You probably don't realize how many people know about you and how many people know about the kind of lives that you live right here in King Mountain Church. I tell you what I've told my church. I'd rather God shut my church down than to watch that church become a tool of Satan to deceive souls, and to watch that church become a pattern of disobedience to God's word and a careless carrier of the name of Jesus Christ. If we ever begin to live like the world while we are professing to follow Christ, we're going to help hell destroy the souls of men. But if we'll follow Jesus and we'll pattern after the Son of God and we'll conform to the Word of God, then our influence will be an influence that will cause people to go to heaven, brother. Oh, God, help us that we'd always be an outpost of heaven and not of hell. I'm telling you, there's been a lot of churches that were once an outpost of heaven. helping people on their journey to heaven, that somewhere along the line they lost their light. They became an outpost of hell, deceiving souls and dragging souls to hell. It's important that we set an example of humility, an example of holiness, an example of hunger for God. It's important that we keep our altars active in our homes and in the church house, that we commit ourselves to increasing in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His Word, that we continue to have a burden for souls, that we desire and seek after the salvation of souls, that it's important to us that our people be saved, our families be saved, that our families be healed, that our churches be spiritual. It's important to us that burden stay upon our heart and we live as an example before men. Oh yeah, I appreciate your pastor. He's been a blessing to us at the Martinsville Church of Truth for many years. And Brother Randy is a good holiness man and a good holiness preacher. And he is an extension of the influence of this church. Everywhere he goes, he is an extension of the influence of the Keene Mountain Free Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the influence of this church right here across this country through the influence of your pastor and of the lives that you live as saints of God. So when the gospel comes, our influence changes. It changed the worship of these people. The gospel did not make these people worshipers. They already worshiped, but they worshiped idols. It was a perverted worship. But the gospel focused their worship on the true and living God. We read in verse 9 where Paul said, "They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." The emphasis in this body of people changed from the material to the spiritual. Their worship changed from worshiping the creature to worshiping the Creator. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to worship, but it's important what you're worshiping. These people were idol worshipers, but the gospel turned them to become true worshipers of God in spirit and in truth. You know, their worship was manifested in their service. You turn from idols to serve the true and living God. So our worship is manifested in our service. What we give to God in here is important, but what we give to God on outside of here is important too. Because our worship is not just manifested in glories and hallelujahs in the church house, but our worship is manifested in what we give to God on the outside of this church. How we serve Him on our jobs, and how we serve Him in our homes, and how we serve Him in our schools. And that is how we worship God, brother, in our service unto Him. They turn from idols to serve the true and the living God. But not only did God change their worship through the gospel, but He changed their anticipation. The gospel changed the anticipation of these Thessalonians in this sense. In their heathen darkness, the best that they could hope for was an uncertain future. When death came calling, nobody knew what lay beyond that door. But the gospel brought a message of hope into the darkness of these people. They likely lived in fear of the future, in terror of death. But the gospel took the terror out of eternity, and they began to anticipate a bright future. They looked forward to the return of Jesus Christ. They had once lived in the night, but now they're living in the day. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in my text that they turned from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for his son from heaven. These people had a blessed hope in looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No longer was the future uncertain. No longer did the future terrorize them, but they had a blessed hope in looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the gospel has wrought such a change in us as it did in those Thessalonians, we will become culture shapers instead of being shaped by the culture. I'm telling you, brother, it's important for us as the people of God, we set the standards. We don't follow the standards of the world. We set the standards. We find out what God wants and conform our life to what God says in His Word. We set the standards. And when God gets a hold of us just right and transforms us and we begin to conform to the Word of God, we will set the standard in our community of what God desires out of us. When holy men are our heroes, when we take seriously the impact of our influence on our families and on our communities, when we worship God by serving Him in our society, and when we live in anticipation of the imminent return of our Lord, we will impact our society for righteousness. My wife was born and raised in a little community not far from where we live, called Dry Fork, Virginia. And Dry Fork had a reputation for drunkenness, violence, dishonesty. People would go to church on Sunday, come back home, and the meal that had been prepared would be gone. Somebody would steal their meal while they were at church. There were government steals in that community and illegal steals dotted the landscape of Dry Fork, Virginia. My wife's grandfather fired the boiler at a government steel there in Dry Fork. There were two churches in Dry Fork. One was a Methodist church and one was an Episcopal church. And the Episcopal church sat right next to where my father-in-law lives right now. But the churches had very little impact upon that community. But one day there was a man came into that community by the name of George Stanley. He was a holiness preacher. His grandson is a Baptist preacher that you probably know about. His name is Charles Stanley. And he pastors down in Atlanta, Georgia. That boy was raised in holiness. His grandfather was a great holiness preacher. And when he got to be grown, he made a change. And we all know him as Charles Stanley. I'm sure most all of you have heard of him. But it was his grandfather that brought holiness to the community where my wife was raised. And his grandfather's buried in that community. And Charles Stanley's childhood home is just half a mile from where my wife was raised. But when George Stanley came into that community, set up a tent and started preaching holiness, my wife's grandmother saw that tent. And she began to beg her husband to take her to that revival meeting. And my wife's grandfather said, I ain't going up there to that meeting. Said, I'll get in trouble, sure as a world. Somebody's going to be up there drunk, fighting. And I'll be in the middle of it. And I'll wind up in jail, miss days of work, and I ain't going up there. And my wife's grandmother kept on begging him, please take me to that tent revival. Finally, he gave in. Said, all right, I'll take you. And he took her up there to tent revival one night. She went in and sat down under the tent. And my wife's grandfather sat down on the root of a big stump outside the tent to wait for the service to be over. George Stanley crawled in that pulpit and started preaching. And Brother Yates said, I never heard such preaching in all of my life. Heard the gospel that night. God got a hold of his heart. When the preacher got through preaching, he said, all right, everybody in here that wants to be saved, raise your hand. Brother Yates said, I didn't raise my hand, but somebody raised it for me. My hand went in the air. And when he invited him to come to the altar, he got up off the old stump root, made his way to the pole altar, knelt at the mourner's bench and cried and wept his way through to victory. God save my wife's grandfather that night. I'm telling you, brother, he went out of the liquor business and revival came to that community. Souls began to get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it wasn't long till there were no steals in Dry Fork, Virginia. The steals went out of business. Praise God. Wasn't long until George Stanley came back, invited to preach in the Methodist Church. And he ran revival, and my wife's great-grandmother was in that church and went to that revival. And God saved her and sanctified her in that revival. And her husband was dead, and she was a tobacco farmer. And after God did a work in her heart, she went home and she told her boys, she said, boys, I want you to go out there and dismantle the tobacco barns. And they said, Mama, this is how we make a living. What do you mean? We can't dismantle the tobacco barns. She said, we're going out of the tobacco business. And she said, we're going to trust God and we're going to burn our bridges behind us. Hallelujah. So they went out of the tobacco business under the influence of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, brethren, they weren't the only ones. There were other houses, households through that community that plowed their tobacco under, dismantled the tobacco barns, and went out of the tobacco business because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That woman lived for God and had victory all of her life. Her son became a prominent preacher in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, served as a superintendent of the Western North Carolina Conference. When his mother was on her dying bed, he was standing at her side. She said, son, I got 50 cents to give you. This is all I got left in the world. She said, when I gave my life to Jesus, it cost me everything. This is all I've got left. But she said it was worth it to follow Jesus. And she had this saying, she said, if Jesus is not worth everything, he's not worth anything. And if he's worth anything, he's worth everything. Praise God. And she said, it cost me everything, but it was worth it to follow Jesus. And hallelujah. I wish we'd get that kind of attitude again, don't you? I wish God would help us to understand how important Jesus is, that he's worth everything. Praise God. Revival came to that community. People began to make restitution. Brother, I'm telling you, you could go through that community on a Sunday. There was nobody plowing their gardens and nobody mowing their yards. They were all in the house of God worshiping God. That church produced no telling how many holiness preachers that went out from there preaching the gospel across the land. There was a powerful move of God in that place and when the preaching of the gospel came there. My wife's father got saved and in a revival where 90 people got saved. Maybe it was a little more than that. 90, I believe, was baptized and in that meeting, and God brought revival there. My little wife is a product of the holiness preaching in Dry Fork community. I'm telling you, brother, that the gospel changes lives. It changes societies. It changes families, brother. The gospel has power to change us. I want to encourage you to be faithful. I want to encourage this church to be faithful to the word of God. And to you saints of God from various places, I want to encourage you to keep on living for Jesus. Don't back up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Somebody needs your influence. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs to see a life lived conformed to the word of God. We've been seeing people come to our church from liberal churches that have let down the standard over the years, and they're tired and weary and sick of seeing such put on in the house of God. And they've been a coming to the house of God, to our little church in Martinsville. I went to Georgia this past weekend, to a fellowship meeting there, Archer's Grove in Athens, Georgia. And we were scheduled by a friend to meet with a couple that had been attending a liberal holiness church for years, and they had just drifted with the flow, you know, in that church. And somehow someone gave them some CDs from our church and got them connected up to our website, and they began listening to messages on the website. And it convicted them. They started getting convicted, and they wanted to meet us. And so we had a meeting with them on the Meadow restaurant on the way down to where we was going. Never had seen them before in my life. They said they wanted to meet us. So we got to talking to them, and they began to share with us how God was working in their life. And y'all, I'm probably taking up too much time here. I'm going to try to quit real quick. But this couple was going to a church on the campus where I went to school. It was a Pentecostal holiness school, and they were attending this church. I'm going to tell you how far the holiness people have gone. The pastor of that church used to pastor a church in the town where my brother-in-law pastors now. I have a clipping in my files at home of a striptease act that this guy did in the pulpit years ago. His pastor of that church, his theme was that the outside don't matter. So he'd change clothes in the pulpit. He looked like a shepherd, and he looked like something else. He looked like something else, and he'd say, "See, I'm still the same person. I got on different clothes, but I'm still the same person." Then he took his shirt off, had on a t-shirt, got behind the pulpit and took his pants off, threw them out in the congregation, and then stepped out from behind the pulpit with just a pair of shorts on. He said, "See, I'm still the same person." Now this man, there was a big write-up in the paper, that local paper, about this, and the people were thrilled about it. I mean, it was just wonderful, this message on the outward don't matter. And this guy, over the years, he pastored that church for years, and over again, caught with women, and they kept him on as the pastor, and now then, they've hired him on as the pastor of this church on the campus of the school of this organization. And this couple is going to this church. Well, they don't know the history of this man. But God is working in their life. And the woman had on a skirt, and she was telling us how God was working in her life. And she said the other day, she said, "I was at church, and one of the ladies was going out, and she spun me around, and she said, what's this different look here?" Said, "Hippie?" She said, "No, that's holiness." And she said, "Furthermore, you keep looking, there's going to be a bun up here." She let her hair grow out. Well, I don't really know that I ever preached for her to hear anything about women wearing dresses or women not cutting their hair. I don't know. I mean, that's not a particular theme I have, but God is working on that woman. I'm telling you, brother, I'm glad I've stuck with the holiness way. When I hear somebody that God's a working with, I'm glad I stuck with biblical principles. And I want you to stay with it too, because God's going to use you to help somebody to find Jesus down the road if you'll stay with God. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, we want to be an example of a society shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ and not shaped by the culture around us. Our homes and our families are to be shaped by the gospel and not by the culture around us. Our manner of life, our manner of dress, our manner of conduct is to be shaped by the gospel, not by the culture around us. God bless you. I appreciate you so much, the people of God. And I don't want to leave a sour taste in your mouth. I want you to know I appreciate the people of God. I just want to encourage you to keep going on in the right direction.
Well, I love that.